Will you pray with me, please? God, we come now to hear from you. And so we're going to look at your word, and we're so grateful that your word is powerful. You tell us that your word is alive, it is vibrant. And so we sit here now and we want to hear your voice speak to us. So I ask that, like, my words that go out will do nothing but just point to you. I pray, Lord, that the manifestation and the result of our time together is going to be heartfelt adoration for you. And so to that end, we ask and we anticipate. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a question that I've been thinking about over the last week, and the question that will be running through this entire sermon this morning, is this. What were you looking for when God found you? What were you looking for when God found you? Let me give you a few examples, because that's maybe a confusing question. So I know one guy named John who was looking to get his wife back. And in the process, God found him. I know another lady who was looking for truth. Now, she was looking about truth in, like, all world religions as she was looking at various things. And in the process of it, God found her. I know another guy who was looking for unconditional love, going from relationship to relationship to relationship. And in the process, God found him. And then another lady comes to mind, and she was looking for purpose in life. And in the process, God found her. What about you? What were you looking for when God found you? And maybe you'd say this morning, gosh, I'm not even sure God has found me yet. Like, maybe you're in process yourself, and that's okay. It's okay to recognize it and admit it. And perhaps today for you is going to be an important day where you actually realize, oh my, like, God has found me. And there's a very specific response that should flow from that. In our passage of Scripture today, we're going to be looking at a man who's looking for something as well. And in his process, God finds him. So we're going to be looking at Jacob as we continue along periodically. I mean, most of the time we're in 1 Corinthians, but every once in a while, mostly when I'm up here, we're looking at the book of Genesis. And so Jacob is the main character. And let's just recap a little bit, because we're going to hit right in the middle of a story that we've been carrying along a little bit. Jacob is one of the main characters here. He has stolen his brother's blessing. To get that, he had to lie and deceive his dad. And to keep from being killed now, he's fleeing. He's running away because his brother Esau, he said, I'm going to kill you for taking all my stuff. And Jacob says, well, I'm just going to leave town then. So Jacob is on the run. And Jacob is looking for safety. That's what he's looking for. He's also looking for purpose and direction in life. I mean, if we put ourselves in the shoes of Jacob, he's leaving his home, leaving everyone he knows. He's walking alone on quite a long journey. And the plan is this: just hide out until your brother decides he won't kill you anymore. Like, there's not a lot of life purpose or direction in that, is there? Like, his whole purpose is just to stay there until what? He ends up staying there for about 20 years, by the way. So he needs some purpose and direction in life, doesn't he? And I think another thing he's looking for, the text tells us, he's looking for a wife. But you know anybody? I mean, how does that happen? You hit town, and, like, where do you go in the ancient Near East to find a lady? So he's looking for all these things. And what happens is that God finds him there. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 28. We're going to read verses 10 to 15 together, and we're going to see in this section of Scripture here that God takes the first step with Jacob. Jacob left Beersheba, that's his hometown, and set out for Haran. That's where his uncle lives. That's where he's going to stay. When he reached a certain place, now he's on the path now, he stopped for the night before the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you're lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Now let's just take a pause in this blessing that he's giving here. This section here that we're seeing that the Lord is communicating to Jacob, this is nothing new. Jacob has heard these kinds of promises passed down to him from his dad before. Blessings, you're going to be an amazing nation. The new detail in this one is that you're going to be like the dust of the earth. That's not a negative thing. Dirt is typically negative, but dust in this case is like, it's plentiful. Dust is everywhere. That's what your descendants are going to be like. But what's going to happen next is that Jacob is going to get some very personal promises. This is new stuff that's coming up in the next verse. And note this, Jacob has not met with the Lord personally before. Every encounter that Jacob has had with God so far has been through somebody else, primarily through his dad. Now, the Lord is coming directly to Jacob and reiterating all the promises, and now he's going to make these amazing personal promises. Verse 15, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I've promised you. Now, I want to just pull out a few details of this personal promise that we see in verse 15. So when God is saying now, I am with you, think about the reaction that Jacob might have had to that part of this promise. And let's not get overly spiritual on this, okay? Jacob, remember we've talked about this before, Jacob was not necessarily a very godly man. Jacob was not very holy. Jacob was not very spiritual. As a matter of fact, Jacob was a deceiver, a schemer, a liar. He was a cheater. So you can imagine now that Jacob isn't quite sure if this is, like, is this a good thing or a bad thing? You're going to be with me? Do I want that? You're powerful, so that's good. I do want a powerful God on my side. But this is the way God works with, like, all people through all times. He says, I am with you. And Jacob doesn't know the full ramifications of the goodness of that yet. He's going to learn it. But I was even thinking about how this relates to the Christmas season that we just celebrated. Because in Matthew 1, verse 23, we're told that they will call him Emmanuel. That's Jesus. And Emmanuel, right? We sing songs with that word in it over and over and over. And Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. Jacob has that. And no, and in Hebrews, it gives us this amazing promise that's reiterated throughout the scriptures that God will never leave you or forsake you. Never leaving. God is with us. And that's what Jacob is. That's one of the first parts of this personal promise that he gets. A second part of it is that he's going to watch over him. It's a promise of preservation and protection. Another part of it is he's going to bring him back. So this is a very specific reference to this promise that had been made to Abraham. Like, this land is yours. You're leaving the land. I know you're leaving, but you're going to come back. I'm going to bring you back. And then the last part of it is that I'm not going to leave you. So the common notion back in the ancient Near East was that deities were limited to regional and geographic locations. So in this spot, you would have like a deity, and that was his area. But if you went over here, like there was another deity, and he or she would reign over that area, not that deity. And then if you went over here, there'd be a whole nother deity that would reign here. And so as you traveled or moved along, you as the person, you're always like, well, who's in charge here? What am I supposed to do? Where are the offerings I'm supposed to give? What are, like, I'm going to give an animal. I'll give some money. Like, what am I doing? God is telling him here, look, I am transcendent over all places. I am going with you. I will not leave you on this journey you're going on. I am with you. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to bring you back. And it's going to be okay. Now, note this. Jacob, when this whole thing is going on, Jacob is asleep. Right? There's a dream he's having. God is revealing himself to him in a dream. And God does that periodically through the Old Testament, where he will reveal himself to people in dreams. And as it relates to this story, I was thinking, like, what does that mean for us? Like, wait, is he still doing that for us? Should I go to sleep anticipating that he wakes up in a dream? Should I sleep outside and put my head on a rock for my pillow? Like, is that how it's going to work? Is this the formula? And I don't think those are the points of this. I think the theme that we see here, and it permeates Scripture, and it's going to permeate even in your lives as we think about it more, is that God always takes the first step. Jacob is doing nothing here. He is not looking for God. He's not pursuing God. He's not hoping to find God along the way. Jacob is doing his thing, and God injects himself into Jacob's life. I was thinking about how, like, God has done that in my own life through the years. I mean, I asked you the question. Of course, I've thought about the question as well. Like, what was I looking for when God found me? And one of the times it came to my mind very powerfully, and I was just praying for the Lord, and I felt like he said, you know what, Sean, like, tell him this story about your life today. So when I was 28 years old, I went off to a camp, and it was about 2,000-3,000 college students. We're going to go up into the mountains in Glorieta, New Mexico, and we're going to learn about God. It's church camp. And my friends and I had been going to this camp for years, and I had a few priorities going to that camp for the summer, for that 1 week. The first priority was to win the volleyball championship. All right? We'd practiced, we'd recruited some friends, and we were playing some volleyball in college. We said, you know what, we're going to win the championship this year. Second priority was to meet some girls. We figured, look, there's a bunch of women up here, 2,000-3,000 of us total. Clearly we can meet somebody up here. So that was my friends and my goal. The third goal was to learn something about God. All right? Going to church camp for the week, we might as well do that, right? And they were in that order. Volleyball, girls, God. That was it. So I was feeling pretty good about it. I'm excited about the week. You know, we're going to jump in. And first night, speakers up front. And, you know, it was good. It was interesting, provocative, thought-provoking. And then, at the end, he gives a challenge. And this was it. If you are willing to do whatever God calls you to do this week, then I'd like you to signify that by standing up. And I'm thinking, man, first night. Like, let us warm up a little bit, right? I mean, just jumping right in. And as I'm sitting there, and I'm like, wow, God, what do I think about that? I did say, yeah, I want to learn some things about you this week, but that's a challenge, huh? Anything? And I'm like, well, do I trust? I trust God. I've been battling back and forth in my head. And finally, I'm like, you know what? Whatever he says, I'll do. So I stand up. You know, there's tons of people standing up all over this worship center. So the week progresses, right? We're playing volleyball, and we're doing great, and we're meeting people. You know, probably some girls were involved in that. I don't remember all the details there. And the second to last night, during the teaching and the worship time, I'm having like this spiritual moment. I don't know what everybody else has got going on in their minds and in their hearts, but I have this, like, I think of it almost like a drop of water, like, ding, it just keeps coming, ding, 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 and it's a thought. And I feel like the thought is from the Lord, and here it is. Sean, I want you to go into ministry for me. I want you to work for me. And my response was, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. God, I came here to play volleyball, to meet girls, and to learn a little bit about you. Like, you just jumped way ahead in line. And I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that. I mean, I had some plans for my life. I wanted to live the good life. I wanted to make a lot of money. This was my plan. I wanted to make a bunch of money. It was kind of like the American dream, basically. You're going to be like, that's so shallow. I wanted to have a bunch of money. I wanted to have a big house. I wanted to have a happy wife with kids, a dog, new cars, big, nice green grass lawn, living in a neighborhood, have good friends. And I wanted to go to church. Yeah, I mean, that was, God was part of my equation, for sure. But he wasn't supposed to be like the entire equation. He wasn't supposed to be like, Sean, I want you to work for me and be a pastor. And like, this was a huge paradigm shift. I'm like, and then it was like, so I'm talking to God. You know how you do that? You're like, that's crazy, God. I'm not doing that. And then God was like, yeah, you remember you stood up that first night and you said, you do whatever I called you to do. I'm like, oh man, like I'm trapped by God. So, man, I am like unnerved because this was not on my radar at all. Go back, sharing time in the cabin, you know, people are sharing stuff, and I'm like saying nothing. I'm like all buttoned up. I'm like, I'm not saying anything about anything to any of these people. So then I called our college worker over and said, hey, listen, this is what's going on. Like, I am freaking out. And this is how out of the blue it was. She said, she's like, she's probably thinking, man, Sean, you're the last person I would have thought that God would do this to, right? So, and this is why. She says, well, look, don't feel any pressure. If that's really God working, then it won't go away. And I'm like, I kind of felt some relief in that. I'm like, seriously, like, I don't have to do anything. Unless you don't do anything with it. Just let it go. Like, just kind of roll with it. And I'm like, oh, pressure is off. Like, I can just kind of like see what happens on this thing. So I'm telling you, man, all night, like, I'm just like haunted. Like, work for me. Go into ministry. Like the whole next day, man, I had no fun playing volleyball or chasing girls the next day. Because all I'm thinking about is God saying, Sean, I want you to come and work for me. And I'm, so the next night, so last night at camp, you know, and it's just like on me. By the end of the, like the singing and response time at the end, I'm just like, all right, look, God, I give up. Like, you know that probably in the story. Well, you probably could predict it because I'm up here doing this. But it happened like that night, like the last night, like I was like, God, I give up. Like, okay, I have no idea what that means. Here's what I knew. I said, look, I do not want to be a children's ministry worker. I know that. I do not want to be a youth worker. I know that. I do not want to be a worship leader. I do not want to be like a head pastor, teacher. And I don't want to be like an associate pastor. I don't really want to leave the country and be a missionary. Like, I'm going through all the categories. I don't want to do any of those things. And even when I went down the front, I told this guy, I was like, hey, he said, what are you doing here? I said, this is what I'm doing. God's calling me into ministry. He's like, oh, that's so great. He was so excited. What do you want to do? Like, wait, I said, I want to do anything. That's what I want to do. I want to do nothing, but God is calling me to do this, and I cannot say no. That's why I'm here. He was like, this is a new one. I'm sure he went back to all of his friends. He's like, look, I got this guy out there. You won't believe what he just said. So I am just petrified about this whole thing. So I'm talking to my, I had hooked up with my parents after that camp, and my mom and dad were driving, and my dad says, he's like, so what happened at camp this last week? And we were a fairly spiritual family, but I'm telling you, like, this was a whole nother thing for us. I was very nervous to tell my parents about this. And I'm just making a big mess of it. I'm beating around the bush, you know, I didn't want to tell them at all. And my dad says, he's like, I know, God's called you into ministry. And I was like, how did you know that? He's like, well, one morning when I was out on a run this week, God told me that. And he said, he said, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a part of Sean's ministry. And I was like, that's weird. So then my mom says, and you know, I was reading the Bible this week and God told me the same thing. And I'm like, Mom and Dad, weird, okay? And then we get to where we're going, and we had called my grandfather on the phone, and he's old. He's a character. And he said, and so my mom says, "Hey, tell your grandpa what happened at camp this last week." And he said, "Oh, I already know." And I'm like, "What? What do you know, Grandpa? I mean, you live in Oregon. Like, what? What's going? Like, how?" Nothing against Oregon, but look, he's in the middle of nowhere in Oregon on a trout stream. Like, how? What do you know, Grandpa? And he says, "You're going to be a preacher." And I was like, "How did you know that?" And he said, this is great. He said, "You think you're the only one the Lord speaks to?" I'm like, all right, look. And I mean, confirmation after confirmation after confirmation. And like, that was a good thing for me because I was freaked out. And like, I feel like that happens in our lives. Like, that's not like an isolated experience. You know, we're living our life according to our agendas and our plans and our ideas. And God, like, He shows up. Like, and He redirects us. Like, regardless of what you think you're looking for, God shows up. And He says, "What you really are looking for is Me. And here I am." You know, we don't look for God. We don't seek Him as much as we think we do. But He is like the relentless pursuer of us. And Jacob in this story is experiencing that. And I wonder for all of you, like, where are you in process with God on that? Are you tuning in to His voice as He speaks to you and says, "I am chasing you down"? Now quit running and just stop and let Me get you. Let's look in the scriptures in verses 16 to 22 and see what Jacob does when God gets his attention with this amazing promise. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." I love that. He was afraid. That's not like pure fear. It's more of an idea of awe and respect. And he said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head, and he set it up as a pillar, and he poured oil on top of it. This was an act of worship for him, making that thing holy and consecrating it. And he called the place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. So Jacob just decides, "I'm not from here, but I'm just going to rename this place." Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth." This is the first time that Jacob has said anything like, "The Lord will be my God." And we're not going to pick on Jacob here, but let's just point out that this is a pretty good reply, but not really the best reply. You see the if-then conditionality in this thing? If you're going to do all of this good stuff for me and you're going to pour out all the blessings, blah, 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 then you will be my God. There's something I sense that he's kind of holding back in that, don't you think? Like, God, when God reveals himself to us, what we see throughout Scripture is that he's looking for a wholehearted, unconditional surrender to him. And Jacob is in process. I think that's just the thing I'd like to point out here. Jacob is going to learn that over time. Jacob's response is kind of, it's authentic for where he was. But as we move along, and you may be further along in your life spiritually, and God is not looking for you to make these kind of a conditional vow or a conditional response to him. Instead, as he reveals himself as the holy God of the universe, the creator of everything that we know, the one who rules over everything, everywhere, in every time, the response that we should have is very similar to what Jacob has here. should be a response of worship and a response of faithfulness. And Jacob has that in here. I mean, when we see him putting up that stone, that's an act of worship. When he pours the oil over it, he is acting in a worshipful way. Similarly to how we would sing songs and clap our hands and stand up, kneel down. Like, those are all acts of worship that we do. There's a heart of worship involved in it, a heart of affection. There's also this connection of faithfulness that's involved. I mean, Jacob makes a vow of faithfulness. And the point here is not for us to start making vows. The point is that we as well make a significant commitment of faithfulness to the Lord. And that doesn't happen casually or accidentally. Every relationship that we are in, every significant relationship involves deliberation, thoughtfulness, and a clear choice. You know, Jacob didn't wake up in the morning and think, wow, this was a pretty cool experience. I guess we'll just keep on moving. Like, he was a different person when he woke up because he'd met with God. You don't meet with God and remain the same. When you meet with God, you are changed because you've become in the presence of the holy God of the universe. There's a clear choice of response that is made here by Jacob. And for us, as we think about how this relates to us, when we meet with God, when God takes that first step toward us, reveals himself to us, the response that we give is one of worship, one of faithfulness, and it's not casual. There's clear intentionality to it. And you know what I hear very often, because I, for the last handful of years, even before I came here, I would meet with and interview and encourage like hundreds of new people that were joining the last church that I was on staff with. And here's a progression of conversation that I would hear often. Hey, well, tell me, how did you come to know the Lord? And I'd hear things like, well, I've always been a Christian. Or, well, I was going through some tough stuff in life and I started coming to church and I really liked it. Or, well, you know, when I come here, I just feel so good. And I would follow up all of those comments with, well, let's talk a little bit more about that. Because in my experience, and when I look at the scriptures, when you meet with the Lord, something significant happens and a clear choice is made. We don't casually or accidentally become part of God's family. We don't casually or accidentally become a follower of Christ. We should be able to look back and say, you know what? When I was going through that, in that place, during that season of my life, or that specific time, I changed. And the change was in response to who God is. It was significant, and it was powerful. You know, I think about what it says in Romans chapter 9, or chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, when it tells us that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I think that sometimes we would think, oh, well, that seems like, say, Jesus is Lord and I'm going to be saved. Wow, that's going to be really great. And, you know, for those Christians living in Rome, that was a huge, huge choice that they made. They did not make that phrase casually. Because to say Jesus is Lord would lead them to being killed in an arena for the entertainment of the Romans. The phrase Jesus is Lord was not something they would just throw out. It was made, just like we see with Jacob, it was made in response to an amazing God who shows love. And it was made with a clear choice of saying, I will follow you, I will be faithful to you, even at the expense of losing my own life. And we don't have to deal with that kind of threat today. No one's going to threaten or take our life here where we live because we follow Jesus Christ. But what emerges is the same pattern of response. Jacob woke up a different man. The Roman Christians stood firm in the face of death. And when we respond to him, because of the goodness that he shows, our lives are marked differently. And so I ask you a question that I started off with. You know, what were you looking for when God found you? Are you responding like the scriptures show, with worship and faithfulness? Maybe you're one of the people that I mentioned earlier, like, gosh, I don't think I've ever done that before. I'm kind of afraid of God. I don't really know that much about God. And maybe today you are hearing his voice of truth and you do want to respond for the first time. For all of us, there is a response, for sure. Whether you've been Christian for 5 years, 10 years, or 50 years, or whether you've never made a commitment to Christ before, there is an opportunity today to make a clear choice to the Lord. And I'm going to give you a couple of those clear choices here in a moment. And what I'd like you to do is just bow your heads and close your eyes, and we're going to just have a moment of response, and the worship team's going to come back and play some music for us as well. And what I'd like you to do is think about this. If you know for sure that you are a Christian today, I'd like you to please just take this time right now to express your devotion to God and ask him with an open heart, you know, what step of faithful action would you have me take based upon this, God? Maybe it's a step of renewed worship in your heart and in your actions. Maybe it's a step of living faithfully for him in 2011 it's different than 2010. And if you have not yet made that commitment to Jesus Christ, you would say, look, I'm not a Christian, and I know that, and I would admit that. You know, I'm not going to ask you to identify yourself to me or anyone else here today. You and God will be the only ones who know that at this point. But I would just ask, do you feel the Lord revealing his truth to you? Do you hear his word and believe in your heart and you say, yes, I believe that. I believe that God is who he says he is. Because if you do, the step of application that you might want to take is to surrender your life to him today. And that would be done by simply saying in your heart words like these: God, I believe in who you are. I believe in your power. I believe in your presence. I believe in your truth. I believe in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, and that I need forgiveness, and I need purpose, and I need love, and I need peace, and I need you to come into my life. And so I ask you to come into my life right now. That is at the heart of all of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, as we respond to him in thankfulness for who he is. Jesus, thank you for all of it. Thank you that we can take no credit. We are humbled by your goodness and your love. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to just respond to God together in worship by lifting our voices. And if you would like to pray with someone after this service is done, I'll be here at the front. Some people from the prayer team will be here as well. And we just invite you to come down, because we're not designed to do this alone. We're designed to do this together. And if there's any way we can encourage you, please come forward and just pray with us.